Thank you, Johanna, for reading our text this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. You may have heard the term synoptic gospel before. Synoptic comes from the familiar word for us, synopsis, an overview, usually of a story. In the Greek, synopsis translates to seeing together. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptic gospels. For the most part, they present the life and ministry of Jesus in the same way. They write it down in different times and different places, and so there is nuance, emphasis, redactions, insertions, but for the most part, the stories run fairly parallel. For instance, in Matthew, Jesus begins his ministry when he is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Luke uses a different word, ego, but essentially means the same thing, just being led. However, Mark sees it differently. The Spirit ekbalo, which means to throw into the wilderness. You get this idea that it's without permission. Someone's being forced to go where they don't want to go to face the wild beasts. And then there is the Gospel of John, which is not considered a synoptic gospel. It was written with a collection of different stories. It does not even tell of Jesus being in the wilderness at all. No temptation, no throw yourself and have angels catch you, no Satan for crying out loud, nothing. How can we call this Lent if we don't get to the wilderness story to wallow in our suffering or the fighting of our demons? Our 40 days are based on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. Instead, John begins with this story of a wedding in Cana. And it's how we will begin our Lenten journey this year. There is this wedding, and Mary is invited. Jesus is invited, and even his disciples, whom he has only known for 2 days, are invited as guests, an entourage. And I like to imagine the bride or groom venting that Jesus didn't check plus one, and he brought 4 extra guests. The worst thing that could have happened, happened. Well, it's not the worst thing, but if you are throwing a party, this could keep you up at night. Do we have enough food or drink for tomorrow? That worst thing happens. The wine gave out. It's all gone. The last drip was sipped. However, fear not. Mary's heart has magnified the Lord. She perceives God clearly, and there is a way. It's as if she knows something about her son, a secret of miraculous proportion that could save the party. The reputation of the bride and the groom is on the line, or more likely their parents. Servants who failed to take proper inventory could be fired. The person in charge of the banquet faces the potential backlash in business and 1-star reviews online. As the panic begins to spread in the kitchen, Mary catches Jesus by the DJ and says, "Hey, they don't have any wine." Now imagine she's trying to communicate to him, "You should do that thing that you can do." In a hushed voice, Jesus says, "Mom," it's funny to think of him saying, "Mom, it's not time to let everyone know now." But even Jesus had to admit, what better time than now, when the party was at its tipping point? It's the moment when the party either fades into a distant memory or it ramps up to the very next level, creating lasting memories. Let's face it, these people living in Cana, they needed to blow off some steam. They had tough manual labor jobs. Each errand required miles of walking. There was that pesky pain in the leg or in the neck. People needed a space to go. There were tired parents who managed babysitters who needed that night to just be a couple. There was that friendship on the rocks or the fallout with a family member. They needed a place to go for the evening, to talk to others, to dance, to listen to music, to enjoy a moment. And we know what they knew, and that is wine. Wine helps. Yes, a drink in moderation helps. And it's not about the alcohol, but it's the something that draws people closer together, just like food or close friends, that wine drew people together, building community, allowing people to be restored in body, mind, and spirit. And without the wine, without this something, the party could fade and people could be parting away. Jesus has a change of heart. We don't know why, but his mother convinces him. He takes 6 stone water jugs, which is equivalent to about 1,000 bottles of wine today. And he fills them up and tells them, draw the water back out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet. This is crazy. Put it in the water, take it out, no grapes, no waiting, no barrels, nothing. And as we can imagine, the person in charge has very low expectations, perhaps even humoring the situation out of desperation. He puts the cup to his lips, but to his surprise, it's wine. It's more than wine. It's surprisingly good wine. This is the good stuff, the special occasion, top shelf, only when guests of honor come kind of wine. And it utterly shocks the man in charge. Wine this good is never used at the end of the night. People don't seem to care about the taste at the end of the night. But Jesus, through Jesus, God does not hold back the extravagance and the abundance of what will be used to bring people together. In fact, if I asked you to tell me your favorite meal that you have ever had, could you tell me what it was, where you were, and who you were with? Oh, how it sets this high bar for everything, doesn't it? Not only does Jesus turn water into wine, but Jesus turns it into good wine, the kind of good that leaves a lasting impression. They said the wine gave out, but then it started to flow again. People drank, people danced, people talked, people celebrated together as one community, and it was very good. This is not a healing. It's not an exorcism. It's not a wise teaching or a turning over of tables for justice. But Jesus' first act in the Gospel of John is to ensure the party becomes the best party possible. Turns water into a wine that is surprisingly very good. We have a tendency to ignore that goodness in our lives, don't we? Something has happened in the past that leaves us turning it over in our heads. A comment someone made, a bill that has to be paid, a test result we're waiting for from the doctor. We take it with us to work. We take it with us to the grocery store, to our homes. Even when we should be on a relaxing vacation, we're thinking of it, unable to let it go. And if we aren't turning over the past, it's projecting the future and all that might go wrong. We live in the future planning, worrying, hoping that it will give us some sense of control, and we take that with us too. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we think about what could come. It's a very human thing we do, that we all do. However, this is the point that keeps us from living in the now, that keeps us from the extravagance and abundance of goodness that comes when we follow and we listen to the ways God reaches us. When we sip water, when we take a bite of food. But our God is so good that every now and again, we taste something so surprising that it cuts through it all. Every once in a while, we hold a grandchild. The sunset floods our living room with orange and reds. We hear a deeply beautiful song. And despite all our worry about the past and the future, the good news of God breaks in. But the good news gets better. We don't have to wait for that moment to come by, just by chance. If we choose, we can pause at any moment and be present to the good news. Last November, in a suburb north of Cincinnati, at Monroe High School, there was a microphone set up in a busy hallway with a sign attached to it that said, "Tell us something good that happened today." And this is what the students said. Jack, could you play that clip for us?
I woke up at a good time today for school, so I didn't miss the bus.
Someone told me that my hair looked really pretty today. There was a new girl at school today, and I think I made a new friend, so yeah.
I got 100% on my German test today.
Thank you.
I think the best part of my day today was seeing all my teachers like come to school and be happy to see us and like smiling.
We went to Pilates this morning.
I finally got a girlfriend.
A good thing that happened to me today was Ms. Gates, she complimented my artwork.
I got to sleep in until like noon yesterday and I watched a movie with my mom and it was a really good day.
And I got my braces off recently.
Let's do it together.
I have been more hanging out with my family, friends.
Something that happened to me that was good recently was that me and my sister are actually kind of getting along now, and like we're not arguing as much as we used to.
It's my birthday, and people have been really nice.
I found out one of my new passions, and it's wrestling. Go wrestling.
I've been having a great relationship with my mom, because back then we used to argue a lot and we could never like be around each other. But now that I'm more open with her, we talk more. Like if we're in an argument, we talk about it instead of just shutting each other out.
My good thing is basketball season starts today.
My good thing is I have all A's.
Miss Stelter said she missed me.
I facilitated a Bible study that went well.
I found my stats on for football. I figured out I had like over 500 rushing yards this season.
I've been happy lately. I found my happy place. I've been more like open to people more and like talkative recently. So yeah.
One good thing that happened to me today was I checked my grades and I had all A's.
Have a volleyball banquet tonight.
I got a perfect score in one of my classes.
One good thing that happened was I got a new phone.
I get to go to open mass for wrestling today.
I made the basketball team.
And I finished my soccer season with a win.
I invited people to my church and a ton of people showed up, which is exciting.
The other day I got to drive a manual car for the first time.
When I checked my report card, I have straight A's.
Something good that's happened to me recently was I got a new dog.
Something good that happened to me recently is that I got better grades.
I got an A on a physics quiz I thought I failed.
You don't need a pastor. You don't need a sanctuary. I would say you don't even need a Bible. They all may help you, but all we need to do is pay attention. This week, someone told me that Lent is not about feeling sad about the ways we have sinned. It's not about wallowing in shame and regret. Lent is about clarity, seeing clearly the good news now, right now, in this moment, which is why our Lenten theme this year is Tell Me Something Good. The good gives us clarity. It does not ignore suffering or pain, but accompanies it and brings us back to the source of our life, the love of God. So after the service, as you leave, there will be a camera and a microphone in the entryway of the church with a sign that reads, Tell us something good that happened to you today. It could be recently, but today preferably. Doesn't have to be a big something big. In fact, I encourage you to think of something small, but in a way like a mustard seed that is surprisingly good. And if you're with us online, I invite you to put something in the comments with whatever platform that you are on. But this is an invitation. And if you don't, I invite you to let that question accompany you in this coming week and in this season. Tell yourself something good that has happened. The party goes on. Life goes on. Thanks be to God. Amen.